Chapter 8. A Clergyman at Home. Mr. Collins spent a week making plans of marriage and love. Then he returned to his house at Hunsford in Kent to prepare the house to welcome his bride. Their wedding day had been fixed. The following Monday, Mrs. Bennet received her brother and his wife. They had come from London to spend Christmas at Longbourn. Mr. Gardiner was a gentleman, quite above his sister in nature as well as in education. Mrs. Gardiner, who was several years younger than Mrs. Bennet, was an intelligent and well-mannered woman. She was a great favorite with all her nieces. Between Jane and Elizabeth and her, there was a very strong regard. Mrs. Gardiner began their visit by giving out her presents. Then she began to describe the newest fashions in London. Soon, Mrs. Bennet began to tell her of her problems. She explained that they had been wronged since she last saw her sister. Two of her girls had been on the point of marriage, and both plans had fallen through. "I do not blame Jane for being disappointed," Mrs. Bennet said. "But Lizzie, oh, sister, I don't agree that she should not be Mr. Collins's wife. I'm quite sad that she refused him. Now Lady Lucas's daughter will be married before I have any of my daughters married. Also, the future of our property is still in danger. However, I'm glad that you have come. It is a great comfort to me." Mrs. Gardiner already knew of the situation from Jane and Elizabeth's letters to her. She gave her sister a quiet answer and decided to turn the conversation to other things. When she was afterwards alone with Elizabeth, she said, "It seems that Jane would have had a very good match. I am sorry that it went wrong. Maybe we can convince her to go back to London with us. A change of place might do her a world of good." Elizabeth was quite pleased with this idea, and Jane happily accepted her aunt's invitation. No sooner had the Gardiners left with Jane than Mr. Collins returned. But he decided to stay with the Lucases. The wedding day was set for Thursday, and on Wednesday Miss Lucas came for her goodbye visit. When she stood up to go, Elizabeth accompanied her out of the room. "Promise me you will come and see me at Hunsford," Charlotte asked. "My father and sister are coming in March. Will you think about joining them?" Elizabeth could not refuse, though she did not see much pleasure in the visit. The wedding took place as planned. Then the couple set off for Kent from the church door. Elizabeth soon received a letter from her friend. Charlotte was living comfortably. She liked the furniture, the house, and neighborhood very much, and Lady Catherine's behavior was most friendly. Jane had also written to say that she had arrived safely in London. She had also written to Miss Caroline Bingley to tell her that she was there. 4 weeks passed, and Jane wrote that she still had seen nothing of Mr. Bingley or his sister. After 2 more weeks, Miss Bingley finally appeared. But it was clear that she did not even want to make the visit. She apologized for not calling before, but she did not say that she wished to see Jane again. She said that her brother knew that Jane was in town, but he was so very busy with Mr. Darcy that they hardly ever saw him. Then she added that it was not likely that Mr. Darcy would ever return to Netherfield. He planned to give up the house he had rented there. This letter hurt Elizabeth, but she felt better knowing that Jane would no longer be fooled by Caroline, at least. As for Bingley, she decided that since his character was so weak, it was best for Jane not to see him any more. In March, Elizabeth was set to accompany Sir William and his second daughter, Maria, to Hunsford. She began to look forward to the journey. She would be able to see Jane, as she was going to spend a night at the Gardiner's house in Gracechurch Street in London. The journey to London was only 24 miles, and they began early so as to arrive by noon. Elizabeth was pleased to see that Jane was looking as healthy and lovely as ever. The day passed most pleasantly. The afternoon was spent shopping and the evening at the theater. Later that night, Elizabeth's uncle and aunt invited her to accompany them to the Lake District in the summer. She readily and gratefully accepted. The next day, when they left the main road for the road to Hunsford, they came upon the home of Lady Catherine de Bourgh. The church's house also soon came into sight. The house had green windows and rows of bushes along the garden. Mr. Collins and Charlotte appeared at the door. Soon, they were all out in the garden, celebrating the sight of one another. Mrs. Collins welcomed Elizabeth warmly, and Elizabeth was glad at having come. She noted immediately that her cousin's manners were not changed, even after his marriage. When he talked about the good build of his house, all its history and its furniture, she felt that he spoke particularly to her. It appeared that he wished to make her feel she had lost much in refusing his offer. She wondered how it was possible that her friend could be so cheerful with such a proud husband. Mr. Collins proudly pointed to Rosings, a house near Hunsford. He told them they were very lucky to have an invitation to dine there the next day. Mr. Collins spent the whole day talking about their planned visit to Rosings. He instructed them about what to expect so that they would not be frightened by the richness of so many rooms, so many servants, and so wonderful a dinner. While they were dressing, he came two or three times to their different doors to tell them to hurry and be on time. He explained that Lady Catherine did not like to have to wait for her dinner. Mr. Collins' stories frightened poor little Maria Lucas and made her feel quite nervous. As the weather was fine, they had a nice and pleasant walk across the park. But when they started to walk up the steps to Rosings, only Elizabeth was able to be unafraid. They were met at the entrance hall by a servant, and he led them to the room where Lady Catherine was sitting. Her ladyship proudly stood up to receive them. Sir William bowed very low and sat down without saying a word. His daughter, Maria, was terribly frightened and sat on the edge of her chair, not knowing which way to look. Elizabeth found herself quite prepared for the dinner. Lady Catherine was a tall, large woman with strong features. She was very serious and harsh. Her manner of receiving her visitors seemed for the purpose of making her guests remember their low position in society when compared to hers. She spoke so powerfully that it showed her self-importance. The dinner was set very beautifully, and there were all the servants and all the variety of dishes that Mr. Collins had talked about. He took his seat at the bottom of the table, as Lady Catherine wished for him to do. He looked as if life could not be anything greater. He praised every dish he ate, and Sir William repeated everything his son-in-law said. Elizabeth began to wonder how Lady Catherine could bear Mr. Collins's manner. But Lady Catherine seemed grateful for their strong praise, and she replied by giving warm smiles. When the ladies left for the living room, Lady Catherine talked without any break until the coffee arrived. She asked Elizabeth a variety of questions, as she knew little about her. She asked how many sisters she had, whether any of them were married, whether they were beautiful, what carriage her father kept, and what had been her mother's unmarried name. Elizabeth felt that these questions were very rude, but she answered them politely. When the time came for them to leave, Mrs. Collins was offered a horse carriage. She gratefully accepted it. With many words of thanks and with many bows from Sir William, they left.